is a group called the Church of Reality. What's the difference between humans now and humans 200 years ago? Physically, we are genetically almost identical. Well, shazam. But we're very different. We now live twice as long as we did then. But if we're gazillions of years old, we should really be living long. Okay? We can travel to the moon. We communicate instantly over vast distances. We have cars, planes, computers, and cell phones. Our medical technology has eradicated several diseases from the planet, and we now take a pill to cure us of diseases that used to be fatal. What is different? We're evolving through the tree. Okay? See what else I've got here. There are people that believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and therefore what the Bible says is true. Count me as one of those people. God said it, I believe it, and that's that. They say, we live in a country where everyone has the right to believe whatever he or she wants, no matter how stupid it is. They call me stupid. That's happened before. But that doesn't make it any less stupid just because they believe it. We're starting a new century, and it's time we started looking at reality the way it really is. Okay? Isn't that good stuff? Our modern technology has proved the Bible wrong. That means that if there is a God, he didn't write the Bible. And the Bible is not his word. If the Bible were the word of God and the Bible is wrong, then God is wrong. And if God can't be wrong, then the Bible, which is wrong, can't be the word of God. You know what I like about these people? They're honest. There's a lot of people who want to straddle the fence and play it both ways. See, they want to say, no, I wasn't created. I believe in evolution. Well, therefore, that makes the Bible wrong. But don't, God's not a liar. I'll never say that. Come on, step up to the plate. That's what you believe. Anyway, what else did I find? This is just sort of interesting. I haven't really read it real good, and that always worries me. People don't like the idea of evolution because of our fear of death. And we like to think of ourselves as something special. The idea that we came from monkeys is as disgusting, and this person puts, as sex. I want to say I sort of like it, but I'm having a hard time getting it out of my mouth. But anyway, let's keep moving. If God made man his image, and we're the only life in the universe, and we are dominant over all other things, and we're going to live forever, that would be a great reality for us. Unfortunately, that's not the way it is, they say. On the other hand, this planet is but a speck of dust in the universe. We're a small planet rotating around a star that is one of billions of stars in the galaxy that is one of billions of galaxies in a universe that existed for billions of years. The universe is likely teeming with life, some of which is so evolved that they would never visit here because we are too primitive to be even considered interesting. Unless we were considered tasty food. Who are these idiots? We exist as a result of random chance. And the only reason we exist is because of our parents and their parents. Before them, they gave in to the overwhelming sexual instincts. Like the animals have. I'm glad Mom and Daddy did that. Amen. And we are formed as a chance DNA combination. We exist for no other reason. You know what I call that? Bunch of bull. That's what that is. That's what we call it. I've got a message today on creation. Okay? We're going to use the big screen this morning. And I don't expect that everybody is going to believe just like I believe. But I do believe the Bible. I think that's where you need to get it. I think, you know, you need to believe the Bible. I think you ought to believe every word of the Bible. I think you need to believe the Bible is the word of the living God. It's true. It's without error. I think if you open yourself otherwise, I just don't know how you're going to pick and choose. You know what I'm saying? And plus, God's Word has been proven true over the decades. It's been attacked like no other book. Unbelievable. But we believe, and I believe in creation. I want to share that to you today from a Bible perspective and Bible point of view. Next week, you'll have the scientist with you. He'll answer all your fancy questions. All right? Let's go. Today, remember your Creator. Could you say that with me? Help me now. Remember your Creator. Where did we get that from? We got it from the book of Ecclesiastes. We just finished the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon hit a ball out of the park. The wisest king, the richest king who ever lived. However, he had some major problems, but buddy, he came back around. Amen? He got back where he needed to, and he was right on target. And here's what he says. After he tried everything and did everything, this is what he says. Rejoice, O young man. Ecclesiastes 11, 9 and 10. in thy youth, and let not thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from your heart, put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Chapter 12, verse 1. Can you say that first line with me? Remember now thy Creator. Keep going. In the days of your youth. While the days are evil, they come not. The evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh. But thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Then shall the dust, verse 7, return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Solomon said something, and it stuck with me. And that's why we're doing a two-week series on creation. He said, remember your Creator. And so at Fellowship Church, I wanted us for 2 weeks to remember our Creator. I want you to start thinking about it. I want you to hear this message this morning. Hear the guy next week. Get in the Word of God. Hope you'll encourage yourself. The Bible says, remember your Creator. It's going to do something in your life. It'll bless you. It'll help you. Let's keep looking. Why do I need to remember my Creator? We talked a little bit about it last week. Why do I need to remember my Creator? Three things. Let's look at it. Number one. We said it last week, sort of. That is, because you're accountable to God. And you're going to stand before Him one day at the judgment. That's why I need to remember my Creator. Big deal. I don't need to remember my Creator. You're going to wish you did. You hear me? You're accountable to God. And that's why evolution exists so much in the minds of so many people. They won't even open up their mind to believing in a Creator, because they know if it ever happens and they believe in a Creator, they have to be accountable. They don't want to be accountable. We live in a generation of people that don't want to be accountable anymore for anything. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what you want. What you're going to get is going to be something different. The Bible tells us. We read about it last week. Revelation 22. The books are open. And the dead are judged under the things that are written in those books. If your name's not found in the book of life, you're cast into the lake of fire. That's what the Bible says. Well, I don't believe that part. Tell you what, you're skating on thin ice, I think. Let's keep moving. Second reason, why do I need to remember my Creator? Number two, it'll help you establish right priorities. If I know one day I'm going to stand before a holy God who is my Creator, it sort of helps me get my act together. Amen? Helps me know what's important. If God does not exist, if God is not my Creator, if He is not my sovereign, listen, then I just do what I want to, helter skelter. I think you go through life without any purpose or meaning in your life, for crying out loud. This will help you get your priorities straight if you realize I've got a Creator. I've got a God who created this universe. He created me. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, just like Psalm 139 says. I have a purpose and a reason for living. It'll help you with your priorities. Number three, third reason. And that is this, because it will help you fear God and keep His commandments. When you remember God and you know that He's your Creator, it's going to help you fear Him. I'm not talking about just be scared of Him. I think there are times we need to be scared of God. Absolutely. And fear God. There have been many times decisions I thought I was going to make, but boy, the fear of God kept me from going down that path. You know? But fearing God is a reverence and an awe. When you remember your Creator, you're just in awe of Him. Instead of going to the beach and not saying anything, you go to the beach sometimes, you look out there and go, my Father made that. Hallelujah. Amen? That sunset, when it sets at night, you don't go, that's just random chance. God is so awesome. Have you ever said that before? Say, God is so awesome. I can't believe that. You know? So it's going to help you to fear God, to keep His commandments. Knowing He's your Creator is going to let you know I am going to be accountable to Him one day. And I'm going to give an account for my life before Him. And I need to fear Him now. I need to keep His commandments. If He created everything, He's pretty much got my life on track here. And if I listen to Him, I'll fire on all 8 cylinders. This is a good thing. So let's keep moving. See what we find. You need to remember your Creator early. The Bible says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Parents, you need to teach your kids early that God created them. Amen? I don't care what they're hearing somewhere else. And they're going to hear it. And that's understandable. That's the world we live in. But they need to hear it from mom and daddy at home, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You need to teach them early. Well, I'll tell them when they're 50. Are you crazy? Teach them early. Children don't have a problem. Children are a lot brighter than us. You tell them that God created those stars up there. And they'll go, wow. You know? Tell me He created the ocean. Tell me He created the animals and the plants and the flowers and the bumblebees. And you know what? They're not going to get in your face and say, no, He didn't. They're going to accept that. They're going to believe that because their heart's going to tend to believe in that. God created them that way. Teach them early. Okay? It reminds me of Timothy. This is Paul writing to Timothy. He said, I call to remembrance, Timothy, the unfeigned faith that's in you, which first loved your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I'm persuaded it's in you also. Listen, grandmama, do your job. Amen? Come on. You teach your little grandbabies that God is their creator. They're just not a random accident. Thank you. Grandma's doing it right now. Good. Good job. Good job. She's jabbing it. Amen? Good deal. Hey, listen. Teach them early. Grandparents, parents, do it. It's a good thing. It'll be in them. And they'll understand. 1 Timothy also, Paul goes on to say, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to your trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so-called, which some professing they've erred concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen, Timothy. Just because something is called science, it can be science falsely so-called. Okay? And there's a lot of that that's floating around there today. Absolutely. Let's keep moving. Reminds me also of Romans 1:20 through 22. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. You're here today, and you're not going to be able to use an excuse. Well, I didn't know. I didn't ever hear about that God created thing stuff. I only heard this, friend, you're without excuse. If you got eyeballs, look around. Amen? You're fearfully and wonderfully made, and we have a Creator, and we are without excuse. But guess what? Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. And your head can run wild with all kind of ideas. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I just read that little paper. It sounds absolute foolishness to me. But they probably got so many more degrees than I'll ever have. Have them. I could care less. Let's keep moving. You can read till the cows come home. Okay? What am I talking about? Pop the scripture up. Ecclesiastes 12:12, and further, Solomon, wisest man ever lived, by these, my son, be admonished, of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Here's what I mean. You can read to the cows come home. I'm all for study. Man, I love studying. That's a lie, but I love people to study. Amen? Have at it. No, I do, and I believe it or not, I was a good student, okay? I was on the honor roll. Let me believe that. It's true. What do you call that at college? What are you on? Dean's List. That's how my wife found me. She was going through the school there, the school college we went to, and she wanted to find somebody on the Dean's List. And she went down to Dean. That's a true story. She saw my name on the Dean's List. I was on the Dean's List. All right? What does that mean? Absolutely nothing. Listen, I believe in books and studying and reading, but I tell you what, you can get awfully weary if you're going to keep reading and reading and reading to the point that you're just going to prove there is no Creator. Let me tell you something. You're going to get really tired because it ain't happening, friend. You're never going to prove that there's not a Creator because there is a Creator. Amen? And it's going to be awfully weary for you. Keep moving. By the way, you cannot please God without believing God. You really need to say that with me. You cannot please God without believing God. When God says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and you say, I don't believe that. But on the other hand, oh, how I love Jesus. That's a bunch of mess. What's up? If you talk to me like that, listen, if you said, Pastor, you know, it's great, blah, blah, but then I said this, let's say I said this to you. Well, this week I went to Rockingham, North Carolina. I did, and you went, no, you didn't. And if I told you I ate Jordan's barbecue twice, and you went, no, you didn't. If I told you I spoke at Temple Baptist Church in Rockingham, North Carolina on Wednesday night, no, you didn't. I'd knock you out if you kept doing that. But we do that with God. Oh, I believe Jesus. I like that forgiveness of sin thing, and I like that heaven stuff. But this believing God created me and created everything that is, I can't buy that. Well, listen, you can't have it both ways. Here's what the Bible says. Put it up. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Okay, faith. You have to have faith in God to please God. Look at this. Say this with me. But without faith, it is impossible to what? Please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You cannot please God by not believing in him. Okay? These are just some things we need to lay down, some groundwork here as we're moving along with this message on creation. Let's keep moving. Now, let's just see this. Today, in this auditorium, on these school grounds, in this city, in this state, in this country, on this planet, we're here today and God knows we're here. And he created us. And I want you to sort of see it from what he sees. Let's look at it. Come on. That's earth. That's the real earth. We're coming in. God's got his eye on you. Let's look at it. Can he find us? Or are you hiding? Let's see if he can find us. Come on in. Come on into town. Oh, I believe he's getting closer. There you are today. How about it, huh? Let's praise the Lord today. He's created. He's created today. Wow. Hey, listen. Listen. I mean, sometimes we can get on this earth and we can just look at everybody and we can think we've got it all figured out. Well, I tell you, it's a little different when you take a bird's eye view. We have a creator. We have an awesome God. That's what the Bible teaches. I want to spend my time with you trying to show you that this morning. Let's keep moving, Roger. Thank you so much. You do a good job, buddy. Let's keep moving. Thank you. Remember your creator, not Darwin. Now, what does the Bible say? Remember your who?
Creator.
In the days of your
youth.
So it doesn't say remember who? Darwin. But don't you see what happened? Put it up, Roger. Here's what happened. 450 Christian churches across the nation celebrated Evolution Sunday on February 12, 2006 to commemorate the 197th birthday of Charles Darwin. Keep moving. During the celebration, pastors and ministers emphasized their view that one does not have to forsake being a Christian to accept science. Hey, I'm all for accepting science. Evolution isn't science. You can teach in a science class, but if they're teaching it right, they should still call it a what? A theory. That's what it is. And you're going to see that Darwin kept saying maybe, 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 maybe. But now today it's written in stone, friend. Matter of fact, if you believe even in intelligent design, they'll call you an absolute idiot. President Bush recently opened up the door to be able to teach maybe classrooms intelligent design. You would think he is the biggest buffoon that ever lived. Dumb old Texas. Well, that's how they talk about it. That's crazy. Friend, I don't just believe in intelligent design. I believe in a God named Jesus Christ who created everything that is. I guess I'm really a nut. You know what I'm saying? But that's what the Bible teaches. Let's keep looking. Evolution Sunday and all these churches evolved out of the Clergy Letter Project. What was that? It was a letter that went out and it said these things about evolution. So far, 10,000 ministers have signed on and ascribed to the statement that evolution is a foundational scientific truth. Now watch this. They went a little further. And that to reject it is to deliberately embrace scientific ignorance. These ministers, which I think they're pathetic, okay? And they made me ashamed that I'm even in the field of being a minister with them. You know what I'm saying? It's horrible. That's my view. It might not be your view. I said in the earlier crowd, you might be going back to one of these churches when you leave here. Shame on you. Shame on you that you'd go and sit and listen to this kind of, I'm going to say it, crap. I know that's ugly. You know, I understand people studying science and being involved. And I can see how people see different things, especially if they don't know the Lord. I can understand that. Okay? And I'm not trying to be ugly to these people. But a minister who names the name of Jesus Christ, who has a book called the Word of God, and rejects it and calls what God said in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth because of when we believe that we're ignorant, there's a problem. Okay? Let's keep moving. And it's important that you know that if you come into Fellowship Church, you need to know where your preacher stands. You need to know that. I want to be honest. I want to be sincere. And for me to say anything other than that would be a lie. And so this is what I believe, man. I believe the Bible flat out. I believe I was created, period. Flat out. Amen? God created everything that is. Here's what Darwin said. Analogy, Darwin talking, would lead me to believe that animals and plants are descended from a single prototype. Keep moving. All organisms start from a common origin and from some low and intermediate forms. Both plants and animals, say that word with me, may have been developed. Keep moving. All organic things which have ever lived on the earth maybe descended from one primordial form. Okay, let's keep moving. So what was he saying? Well, I think we know what he said. But the point is, he kept saying, maybe, maybe. And that's why we have it called a theory, theory, theory. Have you ever thought something before and it was a theory and it was just wrong? Say, well, I got a theory about this thing. Have you ever had one of them? It was just wrong? Say, or is all your theory just always right? Hi, he had a theory. That's not wrong to have a theory. If you look at all the folks and everything that was created, you might think, boom, everything came from one thing. Well, God tells us in the Word that man came from what? Dust. Amen? And God formed man and breathed into his nostrils the what? The breath of life. Okay? You can believe that, or you can believe a big bang and things are totally destroyed, and somehow over gazillions of years of time they all organized and here we are. Hallelujah. Okay? I believe the Bible. I believe creation. Why do I believe God is our creator? I want to just share these things with you this morning. Why do I believe God is our creator? We'll let the scientists do his thing next week. But this is why I believe God's our creator. Let's look at it. Number one. Here we go. Number one. Because God's word says so. Can you say that with me? Because God's word says so. And for that, I'd be called ignorant. You're just an ignorant old southern boy. You believe that Bible stuff. Yeah, I believe the Bible stuff. Amen? My mother and I and our family, we lived years and years not going to church. We didn't have the Bible or anything. I tell you what, it's pretty rough out there. You know what I mean? What God's done for me and how He's blessed my life and the peace He's given me and the joy He's given me and the things I've been able to do in my life, helping people, touching people, taking me around the world, preaching the Word of God, just helping people by a bedside. Had a fellow last night, we need to pray for him. His name is Martin. He comes here in a horrible motorcycle accident last night. He's in the hospital. But it does me wonderful joy that the highway patrol called this woman. She called me, and we can pray. Amen?
Amen.
Praying for him. I mean, I feel like I got a purpose in my life. Yes. And that's all because of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we can call on the name of God. Listen, so why do I believe in God's our creator? Because God's word says so. Now let's keep looking. Let's check it out in the Bible. Genesis 1, 1 through 5. Hang in here with me if you don't mind. In the beginning, say it with me. God created the heavens and the earth. By the way, that word God has many different names. As you read the Hebrew, they come out in different ways. This is Elohim. This is the all-powerful God. Whoa! Can't you see it? Say it. In the beginning, the all-powerful God created the heavens and the earth. Wow. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I didn't say this in the first service, but I'm going to say it in this service. In the late 1800s, I personally think the church ran for the hills. Because when evolution came on, and oh my goodness, we're billions and millions of years old, there must be gaps. There must be gaps. And some of you may have bit into that. I certainly haven't. That there are gaps of billions of years, millions of years right in here. That God created things and they just sit there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, just developing over time. Okay? I don't buy that. I think the church turned tail and ran. I think they didn't want to look stupid. They didn't want to look ignorant. Why? Especially the Catholic Church. Don't mean to be ugly, but here it is. In the 1600s, Galileo said the sun's the center of the universe. Catholic Church says it's not, it's the earth. And they banned his books from being read and taught for over 200 years. They banned that until the 1800s. Hello, guess what? The sun is the what? Center. And the earth rotates correctly around the sun. Is that correct? So they couldn't deny it anymore. But what happens when something like that happens? Hey, I'd have no problem. You know what I would believe, honestly? If I didn't know science and didn't grow up like I did now, I'd still believe the earth was flat. Would you or not? Or would you be brighter than everybody else years ago? I walk around out here and I still think it's flat. If I didn't know better, if I didn't have science, if I couldn't see it, I'd still think it was flat. The point is, I have no problem with saying we're wrong or saying the church is wrong. Sure, we've had wrong views and wrong ideas about things. But, you know, for example, the Bible calls the earth, the Bible says the earth is a circle. If we'd read the Bible, we'd understood that when it thought it was flat for years. You hear me say? The point is this, is that so often when science comes along, we think we're ignorant, so we turn tail and tuck tail and run. And I believe that's what they did with the gap theory. If you got a Scofield Bible, how many has a Scofield Bible in the house today? If you read your Scofield notes, they're wrong. Preachers in the South used to just, oh, Scofield, Scofield. What is that? Jesus, Jesus, that's what I'm talking about. Amen? Guy was wrong. He was one of the suckers that bit into this, in my view. Okay? I tend to believe very strongly in the literal Word of God. I believe God gave it to us. He told it to us. God has no problem with creating the earth in 6 literal days and everything in it. How about if you believe that, you say amen. If you don't, I don't care if you say amen or not. Okay? I don't think God has a problem with doing that. That's the way He created things. Well, what about these millions and millions of years? Why don't you ask the scientist next week? He can tell you all that good stuff. I will just say this. It's interesting to me that everything they discover for sure, for sure. I'm not talking about, we think we billions and millions. I'm not talking about the carbon dating stuff that doesn't work beyond 2,000 years on a regular basis. Mike and I were talking about this morning. If you take Mount St. Helens, which blew up, what, 20, 30 years ago, right? And you take it and you carbon date it, it shows us it's millions of years old. It wasn't millions of years old, was it? How many remember Mount St. Helens and the eruption and everything? Did it happen millions of years ago? Did it happen in your lifetime? Happened in your lifetime. So, wrong. Okay? So the point is this, is that things that have been discovered on a regular basis, like I read something recently where they found life at about 8,000 years old. Something like, well, I can handle that. See? That's what the Bible says. I don't know if I lost you, but I hope you understand. Now, people can say something, that this is millions of years old, but they're carbon dating it. And then they'll take a little something found next to something else and say, see, it was this. It's craziness. It's a theory that's making them believe what they believe. And I'll be honest with you, a faith makes me believe what I believe. A faith makes me believe what I believe. I do believe the Bible. I do believe in Jesus Christ. And my faith makes me believe that. But I got 2 eyeballs too. And I'm seeing some things. And I see these things. It makes me believe in a creator as well. Other scriptures. I got off on that. God said, let there be light. There was light. God saw the light and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. What do we call that still? Day. Isn't that funny? And the darkness He called what? We still call it that, don't we? But now I can't buy that creation stuff. But I like what He called it. Anyway. And the evening and the morning were the what? We still measure a day by what? Evening and morning. But I don't believe that creation. It's funny how we pick and choose. Why do I believe God is creator? Because of His Word. It says so. God said, let us make man in our image. I believe this is the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. I'm not saying man does a good job at dominion, but does man have dominion? Yes or no? Sure he does, just like the Bible says. Still. So God created man in His own image, and the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Is there any other than male and female being born lately? Somebody tell me, yes or no? No, there are people that are changing their sexes, getting operations. But let me tell you something, it's either a boy or a what? A girl. Isn't it interesting? That's how God created us. And that's the way it is. If you're going to do anything else, you're going to have to alter it. Because God didn't make it that way. Let's keep moving. Psalm 139. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. How about you read verse 14 with me? I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Okay? So let's go back now. So number one, why do I believe in that God's our creator? Because the Bible says so. Here's the second reason. Number two. And this is just plain English kind of stuff today. Number two, because God's Word offers no other explanation, period. Period. You can read the Bible, and the only way you're going to get any other explanation, period, is you're going to have to make it up. Whoa, there's a big gap, see it? God doesn't offer any other explanation. There's no other explanation offered, period. God says it straight up. He's that way. He's not intimidated by telling the way it is, it's true. Matter of fact, it says it so plain, He puts it as the first verse in the whole book. Amen? First verse in the whole book. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. He tells us straight up exactly what's going on. There's no other option that he gives us. Let's keep looking. John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Speaking of Jesus Christ. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by who? Him.
Well, you don't believe that,
do you? I mean, that's talking about Jesus. I guess I reject Jesus too, right? Is that what you're saying? I don't think so. Ain't happening. Listen. All things were made by Him. And watch this. This is for hard-headed people like me. And without Him was not anything made that was... I mean, sort of like, just in case you're going to be wondering. Okay? I did it all. I'm creator, He says. Let's keep moving. Revelation 22. You might say, what's the big deal, Pastor? We can believe in Jesus and I can believe this other way. Well, you're going to see why I think that's a big deal in a little bit. But just for example, look at this verse or two. For I testify to you that every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, last book of the Bible here, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him all the plagues that are written in this book. I think you're skating on some thin ice, baby, when you start tampering with the Word of God and you're going to have it your way and not His way. It goes on to say this, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. I call that pretty serious. And out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. I'm not saying we don't think certain things or haven't been trained and taught certain things, but I think, here's what the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, quote it with me if you know it, he is a new creature or creation. All things, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. How many before you became a Christian, I don't mean to be ugly, but saying GD and horrible words like that was acceptable to you? Let me see hand. That was okay. That's just what you did. After you became a Christian, how many of you realized that mess ought not come out of your mouth? See, isn't it amazing? You know, and many in the building probably thought, before you became a Christian, running around, sleeping around, doing things like that, no big deal. It's my life, I'll do what I want to. But after you become a Christian, Holy Spirit starts working in your heart, doesn't it?
Amen.
And you become new. So some of your thinking needs to be changed. It needs to be changed. Amen? And that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. I'm not saying do it my way. I'm saying do it God's way. Do it the Bible way. Believe the Bible. It's the right thing to do. Why do I believe God's creator? Number one, Bible says so. Number two, there's no other explanation given whatsoever in the Word. I mean, He gives us advice on how to raise our family. Not advice, commands on family, how to live, how to do this, how to do that, how to do the other. But on this other area of creation, there's silent total. Nothing at all. Number three, because evolution doesn't make sense. I can't believe I said it. Hey, listen, I don't know where you came from. I came from Rockingham. This don't make sense. Evolution doesn't make sense to me. Okay? And I'd like to just share why that makes sense. Okay? Can we do it? Number one, let's try. There are only two possibilities as to how life arose. One is spontaneous generation arising to evolution. Next, the other is supernatural creation by God. There is no third possibility. Okay? Either spontaneous generation, which we'll talk about that maybe a little bit, arising to evolution. Big Bang happened, arising to evolution, or God created everything supernatural. That's our two views. Spontaneous generation is life arose from non-living matter. So there was non-living matter that undoubtedly blew up, and out of this blow-up became living matter, and it progressed over millions and millions of years, and now here we are today in Englewood. Okay? This was scientifically disproved over 120 years ago by Louis Pasteur and others. Disproven. What? That non-living matter cannot be alive. Non-living matter cannot bring forth life. Okay? That leaves us with only one possible conclusion. That life arose as a supernatural creative act of God. Now, I didn't say this. This dude did. Dr. George Wall, Harvard University, 1971, Nobel Prize winner. Would you call him probably educated? I think so. Probably smarter than most folks in the house. Okay? That's not to put you down, but I imagine he probably knows what he's talking about. But don't give him too many yahoos yet. Let's look at what the dude went on to say. He went on to say, I will not accept that philosophically because I don't want to believe in God. So he says this, therefore I choose to believe in that which I know is scientifically impossible, spontaneous generation arising to evolution. I call a man like that an absolute idiot. I don't care how smart he is, how many degrees he has, and that might impress folks at the country club, but it doesn't impress me. Okay? That's just craziness. I can understand somebody believing something because they didn't understand something else or know something else, but when you know what you're believing is wrong, but you choose to believe it anyway because you refuse to believe in God, that is stupid. And maybe you're here today and that's how you're feeling. I can't believe in that. What will people think of me? I've been making all these arguments all these years, and we're doing some years. Oh, what will I do? How about humble yourself and he'll lift you up? Amen? Amen. How about admit you don't know everything and what the Bible says you're going to believe? You're going to start trusting him. Let's keep looking. Evolution doesn't make sense. Evolution cannot tell you where life came from. It does not. Evolutionists will not tell you where life came from. They will tell you at some point, somewhere along the way, there was a Big Bang. But they can't tell you, where did that stuff come from that blew up? Something had to be here for stuff to be what it is today. Does that make any sense? Some of you are worrying me. If life came from something, then there had to be something that was here. But where did the something come from? They can't tell you that. They can't tell you where life came from. They can only theorize, I believe this is how it happened. Or you can say, thus says the Lord. That's what God says. Keep moving. Let me just tell you something. You can't drop a big screen TV out of an airplane at 5,000 feet and suddenly get a computer. I guarantee it. You cannot do that. I know that's not very high thinking. But listen, you can't do that. And that's what a Big Bang is. You'll have a Big Bang if you drop about a 54-inch TV out of an airplane. You let it fall about 5,000 feet, it'll have a Big Bang. It'll be stuff everywhere. Now, what if we leave that stuff everywhere for a million years? You think in a million years that's going to be a computer? I don't think so, friend. That kind of thinking doesn't make sense to somebody like me, okay? That doesn't make sense to me. You've got to make some sense to me. That doesn't make sense to me. Okay? Something blew up, and out of that blow up came something that became something that became something. Oh, but by the way, you have you're uniquely made now. It sort of happened that way for you. Your retina is the only one that you'll ever get. You're just unique. You've got the only retina like in the whole world. And your DNA code. If you just get a little something from your body at a crime scene, they can take that because you're uniquely you. They can, no, you did the crime, baby. But you know, isn't it neat how it went from just such a mess to now just everything's just perfect, ain't it? That is crazy talk. Okay? The Big Bang doesn't make any sense, period. Now, if it makes sense to you, that's okay. But I think you're a little crazy. But anyway, if it makes sense to you, it makes sense to me. I'll never be able to get on that page with you. Because it doesn't make sense to me. Sorry. God's Word says things reproduce after their kind. Also, this is why evolution doesn't make sense. Because things reproduce after their kind. Let's look at some scripture. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding fruit after his what? Kind. Whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. But look at this verse also. Verse 21, God created great wells and every living creature that moves, which waters brought forth abundantly after their what? Kind. And every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw it was good. Let's keep moving. Okay? There is a variety in species. We know that. There's a variety of birds. There's a variety of felines. There's a variety of this. There's a variety of that. Okay? The Bible doesn't deny that at all. We don't deny that at all. But we do say this. You cannot turn an orange into an orangutan. I mean, they're spelled about alike, aren't they? Look at orange and orangutan. That's an orange with a tan. See right there? Okay? All right? Let's see if we can do it. Come on. Let's morph the sucker. Come on. Boom! Okay? Listen. It's not possible. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just trying to say, what was my third point? I'm just a preacher talking today. Evolution doesn't make sense. Okay? That through this, and this doesn't make sense. Okay? I mean, this is what we're taught. This is what they put in all our textbooks and all our time books that we used to get. How many bought encyclopedias? Your parents bought encyclopedias. I don't know. We didn't have a dime in our name, but we bought all the encyclopedias. Because the guy came to the door. You know what I mean? And we had these books with all these critters. You know, this is the way it happened. But look at this. He hadn't evolved very much. Look at him. He's still bent over. See that? Still humped over. And also, he's still naked, by the way. Look at that. That's a mess. Listen, that just doesn't fly. That's not Bible. God doesn't teach that. And I didn't want to get into this at all. We'll let Dr. Parker do it. Maybe, but, you know, shouldn't we find somebody, if over millions and millions of years, shouldn't we find a lot of these people that are halfway along the way here, or three quarters of the way, or a quarter of the way? We don't find that. We find just what he was, and we find just what we was. That's what we find. The only thing you'll ever find is a theory of a bone or something like this. And by the way, many of those things have been disproven over time. Hoaxes, frauds that were put across as science. Somebody trying to make a big buck. Somebody trying to find that missing what? Link. Don't you think if this is all the way it happened, and there's so many billion of people on the earth, we'd find so many missing links, it ain't even funny. They'd be everywhere. Come on, just start digging, dude. You've got a creator. He created you. You need to accept that. I believe you're going to have a hard time accepting Jesus if you can't accept that. You need to accept that he is your creator. And you're going to be given account to him. And you're a sinner. And you need to trust him as your Lord and Savior. It's so vital to your thinking. Let's keep moving. Doesn't make sense. Now, we're almost done. Evolution doesn't fly with the second law of thermodynamics. Plain English, what does that law say? Everything wears out and runs down. Everything is subject to death and decay. That's the second law of thermodynamics. Things just wear out. How many believe when you buy stuff, after just a while, it's going to wear out? Somebody tell me. It just wears out. How many of you buy something, boy, it'll keep getting better and better in 500 years. It's really going to be really good. That's just not the way it works. It's not the way it happens. Things rust, things rot, things decay. That's what the Bible says. Romans 8, we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And that's what's happening. Things aren't getting better. They're wearing down. I don't know when it's going to wear out, but that's the way things are. That's what the Bible teaches. Evolutionists say the universe is becoming stronger, more organized, more complex. Things move toward precision and given enough what? Time, maybe! Or disorganized things will become organized. That never worked with Elise's room. It's your birthday. Over time, honey, if we'll just give her time, it'll get better, baby. Over time, it'll get clean. Here's how it gets clean. Get in there and clean your room or you're toast. It's amazing. All of a sudden, okay, the room is clean. Evolution. I don't think so. Creation. Amen. That's what it is, man. All right. Let's keep moving. Thank you so much for being here today. This doesn't make sense either. I don't know if I've got anything else that doesn't make sense. Do we have anything else? Three things that we close with. Okay, it's been fun. It's been great. I've had a good time. Some of you are mad at Hornet as me, probably. But that's okay. I love you. But I love the Lord more than I... And I honor the Lord more than I love you and honor you. This is what I believe. It's in my heart. It's in the Bible. I've said it many times. I want to quit the ministry if when I get that Bible in my hand and I can't believe it. I want somebody to come to me and say, Pastor, it's time to hang it up. You're teaching things that aren't true to God's Word. This is wrong. You're denying creation. I wish somebody would tell these 10,000 ministers, quit. If you sign the letter, let's find the letter, find their signature, and tell them Monday, you're fired. Sound like a good plan to me. They wouldn't start something to do that. Anyway. To deny three things. To deny God as creator is to deny that God is all-powerful. When you deny that God is creator, you're denying that God is all-powerful. Because it says in the beginning, the all-powerful God created heaven and the earth. And so right off the get-go, you know, it's funny that God just opens up his mouth and we call him a liar right out the gate. In the beginning, God did not. Listen, you're denying an all-powerful God when you deny that he's created. You're denying that he is all-powerful. If you think somehow this happened some other way and that he couldn't handle it this way. Number two, to deny that God is creator is to call him a liar. I believe that. Did it say one time in the Bible God created? Do you think it says it many, 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 many times? Somebody guess. Many, 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 many times. So you're calling God a liar. And if you're not calling God a liar, you're calling his word a liar at least. Wouldn't you agree with that? You're saying God's word can't be trusted. It's not true. Can't have it both ways. Number three. To deny that God is creator, listen very carefully, and yet believe in the supernatural birth and resurrection of Jesus Christ seems a bit of a stretch to me. It seems a bit of a stretch to me. To say that, oh, I believe Jesus was born of a virgin. Boy, that takes something supernatural, doesn't it? I believe Jesus was dead for 3 days. He rose from the dead. That takes supernatural, doesn't it? But by the way, I don't live in creation. To me, that seems a bit of a stretch, and I would really question your faith. I question your faith if you stand before God. But I sure would question my own faith if I believe that way. And just want you to think about it. I got some scriptures we close with. I just picked them out of John, Jesus talking. I'm the vine. You're the branches. Sometimes we think we're so smart, and we're just the high, you know, muckety-muck. He says, let me tell you something. I'm the vine. Guess what you folks are? You're the branches. Amen? He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Can you say this last part? For without me, you can what? Do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch, he's withered, and men gather them, and they cast them into a fire, and they burn. Verse 7. If you abide in me, and watch it, say it with me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. Here is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. When we take God's words and we just say, I don't believe that, that's craziness. Jesus says, you're not abiding in me. When did you become the tree? Amen? Just think it through today.